9 p.m. Mondays on luradio.ca and 9 p.m. Thursdays on cjlo.com.
Broadcasting 24/7, 365, you're listening to 101.9 FM and CFRC.ca, Kingston's only campus community radio station. Tune in for the best local programming.
Well, hey there, everybody. It's time now for another episode of When We Wake. I'm your host, Andrew Shaver, and you've got me for just under 60 minutes. On today's show, I have a wake-up call with Halifax, Nova Scotia's Leanne Hoffman. Leanne's latest album, The Text Collector, started as a personal experiment. Write a poem every day for a year. From that mountain of words came a record that's pop-forward, poetry-laced, and emotionally razor-sharp. We talk about how seeing St. Vincent live in 2018 completely changed how Leanne thought about performance, and about how wild it is that, well, she's getting ready to open for St. Vincent July 20th at the Halifax Jazz Fest. We also get into her journey from student of the sciences to full-time artist, her longtime collaboration with producer Aaron Costello, and what it's like to walk that fine line between excitement and anxiety, and about how, well, you know, come to think of it, they might actually be the same feeling. Just showing up in a different outfit. Here's my wake-up call with Leanne Hoffman. Hey, Leanne.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm okay. How's your rainy Friday in Halifax?
It's nice. You know, it's nice to have the sun not shine so you can feel not guilty about doing stuff once in a while. It's good.
Big time. Yeah, you need an excuse to relax a little bit.
Or just to do the things I'm supposed to be doing.
Uh-huh.
Instead of going outside.
I understand. Yeah. Making the most of what can feel like the elusive summer on the East Coast. Huh?
So elusive. It's true. Just started and it feels over.
I was just thinking that last night, you know. It just takes too long to get here.
Yeah.
But we're in it now, and nothing says East Coast summer like, 25 one day and 17 and raining the next. So.
Yeah, that's true. We're here. We did it.
What do you got on your plate? You got things to do? You got something big coming up in about a week's time or so from now when we're chatting?
Yeah. Yeah, truly. Trying to not think about it, honestly.
Yeah.
Too much.
Is that true? You're trying not to think about your big show at the Jazz Fest with St. Vincent?
Yeah, I am. Because if I think about it too much, I like glitch out a little bit.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, it's like it feels like a big deal.
Well, it is a big deal.
So I'm trying to just, you know, stay the course and do the rehearsals and be excited instead of. If you think about the excitement too hard, it can change into anxiety.
Right. No, I get that.
I think it's the same. I think it might be the same thing. Anxiety and excitement, I think maybe might be the same in our bodies and our brains. Just.
Oh, that's interesting.
I don't actually know if that's true, but that's what it feels like. Like we can control it.
Today it's true.
Yeah, today it's
true.
Yeah.
And for you, it's true. I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe it's, you know, who am I to say otherwise? Who's anyone else to say otherwise?
That's true. Okay.
I mean, the feelings of anxiety and excitement, I get it. They both get your body pumping in a similar way. And it's just, what is it, your brain that is able to decode it and be like, no, this is excitement. This is good. This is not the stuff of nightmare. But I mean, I can see how maybe something we put so much anticipation into and stock into, like maybe a Jazz Fest show with St. Vincent, I can see how the excitement could also turn into like the stuff of like those dreams where you're like, I actually forgot to learn all my lyrics.
Yeah.
I didn't pick out a costume, enumerate.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, totally. Yeah. All of that. I think that's why it's good to fail to I think the ratio of maybe not mistakes to success. I think in times like of anxiety, it's good to remember all the times I have screwed up or something has gone wrong on stage because it never matters.
Yeah, right.
It's like never ever mattered to anyone except for me.
Sure.
For a chunk of time and then it goes away. and everyone forgets.
Totally. Well, except for you.
Except for me. Yeah.
You never forget. I mean, it goes away to a certain extent.
Yeah. It stops feeling like important.
Yeah.
After a certain amount of time. Same thing can be true here. It could go poorly and it still won't matter.
That's interesting.
I think.
That's a great way of approaching it. How would it go for it to go poorly for you? How would, like, you know, after your show, would you be like, or maybe even during the show, do you feel, are you hard on yourself during the show when you're like, this is going poorly, or you think back on it and like, that went poorly?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how. I definitely am nervous all the time, so I maybe am just checking in with how nervous I feel, and so when it feels good during, it's usually because I'm like a little bit more relaxed.
Right.
So I guess the critiquing usually comes like afterwards, or if something goes wrong, like actually wrong, or I miss some sort of transition, or I hit a wrong, or like whatever. I'm definitely thinking about it in the moment, but I think the real being hard on myself happens afterwards, because there's no time or space to be. It takes effort to be hard on yourself.
Sure.
So it's hard to do that when you're still singing.
Right. Right.
Which is probably good.
Because you got a job to do.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's easy to say that, you know, it's easy to say there's no time on stage to, because I'm still performing, because I still have a job to do. And so I don't have time to be hard on myself. But, you know, it's one thing to say, and it's another to actually be able to put that into practice. Is that something that you feel like you learned how to do?
Like how to be not. Did I learn to be good to myself, or
that you were able to forgive at least in the moment, so that you can continue, you know, with the task at hand?
Yeah, I guess so. I guess that makes sense naturally. Like, I don't think it was taught externally. I think by way of doing it more, and like, this is funny because I don't actually perform that much in comparison to some artists or friends that I have that are in some sort of performance led industry, whether it's like theater or music or whatever. Like in the grand scheme of things in my career, I actually haven't played a ton of shows. Like I feel like it's just been in the past couple of years that I've been playing with a band more consistently, or by myself more consistently. And other than when I'm on tour, which is like a crazy form of consistent performing. And I feel like you kind of just hit a spot where you're on autopilot in a nice way, so you can relax.
Yeah.
But I think I think the main thing is that I want to have a nice time. And being like, generally my experience has been not that, because I'm so nervous. I don't associate shows with like enjoyment, but most, you know, my band and they all play with so many people and they love music and they like playing shows. So they're having a good time.
Yeah.
And I actually think that like having other people to play with reminds you of why. Like, that's supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
And so I don't know if I've necessarily actively taught myself to relax, but I think on the pursuit of having a nice time, I've tried to take things less seriously. I don't know. I think sometimes that works and sometimes it doesn't. And sometimes I'm really stressed right before and I can feel that I'm not relaxed.
What do you do in that situation?
I mean, sometimes it's like I'm not relaxed because something is a little bit wrong, or like we're about to start and like the projector is not working, or like someone's missing a thing, and then I'm panicked in this way that's like, well, we have to do that, like as if it's life and death, which it's not ever. And then after the fact, you look back and you're like, oh, I could have just. If we had started 5 minutes late, it wouldn't matter, or whatever.
Sure.
But if I'm just feeling stressed and we're about to start and nothing's wrong, it kind of just feels like, again, like good anxiety. If I were to frame it that way, just like a built up energy. And I feel like in talking to people that deal with performance anxiety, I feel like the goal is to take your built up energy and use it for the thing.
Right.
Instead of letting it kind of shrink you or make you scared of doing the thing.
You know, ride the excitement rather than wither in the anxiety of it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I think some people are really so good at that. And that's, uh-huh. I think that's what makes a really great performer too, is like when they can take that energy and put it towards the thing they're doing.
Yeah.
I don't know. Is this what we're supposed to be talking about?
Yeah, no, not at all.
I derailed this conversation immediately.
That's it, Leanne. I was looking for a banana bread recipe and I just wanted to talk about your favorite coffee shops. It's exactly what we should be talking about by virtue of the fact that we're talking about it. Well, what do you say we take a break from all that talk and get into some music? From The Text Collector, this is Leanne Hoffman with Sex With You. More of our chat after this.
Grapefruit, soda water, in between my legs. Left the car keys on the counter, think I'm gonna stay.
Leanne Hoffman with Sex With You on When We Wake. Leanne is opening for St. Vincent at the Halifax Jazz Fest July 20th. Now back to my wake-up call with Leanne Hoffman. You said that seeing St. Vincent, talking about live shows and the energy and the excitement and riding that line between excitement and anxiety, you said that when you saw her in 2018, I think it was, that it altered your brain chemistry.
Yeah.
And it raised the standards that you have for your live performance. Mm. What was it about St. Vincent's show in 2018 that altered your brain chemistry?
I think the first thing was just how visually pleasing it was to watch. Like, I'm from a really small town in Ontario, and I definitely was surrounded by music. Like, our music program in my high school is really great, and my parents love music, and my sister was in theater, and so there was never a lack of sonic, like, exciting stuff or like sonically inspiring things happening. But I don't think at that point, because I didn't see a lot of shows, like concerts, when I was younger, or until I moved to Halifax out of high school. So most of the things I had seen were well, first of all, to be honest, like men playing guitars, well, great. And like great songs. And
sometimes,
yeah. And that's a great, that can be a great show. Or like bands, again, like bands doing a, putting on a really great show that feels organic. And then seeing that show, kind of, it blew my mind because it was so apparent that things were rehearsed, that things were happening on purpose. Mm-hmm. And I think that personally, there's something really soothing about rehearsed anything, because I don't have to worry about it and I know what's going to happen. But I'd never really seen that to be done in a cool way.
Right.
Because I think we think about stuff being planned as being a little bit uncool, and we praise people that can like do stuff off the cuff. Sure. like that they can just like improvise whatever they want. And I feel like that's really true in music too. Mm-hmm. We really pedestal improvisation.
That's interesting.
And so that was something that really, really spoke to me, that like this is so clear that she has gotten her entire band on board to do super small things at time in sync. And it was so powerful. And she was so powerful. And the music was incredible. And there was no, like, there was no sense of her needing us to like make the thing work. Mm. Like that show is going to look that way and feel that way. And no matter what. And we had the privilege of like witnessing the thing happen in front of us. And it's not that it was like closed off from the audience, but I just felt so like, wow, we're watching a production. We're watching like music and theater and like all types of art. It's like textural. And it was just so cool. It really was like the first thing that I saw that I thought, being like a musician doesn't mean you have to just stand up there and play songs, which is kind of what I felt really like stuck in. I don't feel like on my own I have that much of a stage presence. I'm working on it, but having these tools of other art forms to make something like worth people's money and time felt like an alternative from what I had been seeing everywhere from the men standing on stage playing their songs.
So, I mean, it was thrilling as an audience member, it sounds like, and like it was a revelation to you as a person, it feels like, and like empowering as an artist. That's what an incredible experience that sounds like it was. Mm-hmm. How does that show up in your show?
I mean, the initial sort of release of this album definitely had all of those parts. There was choreographed movement. There was the visual part that we had someone kind of like help facilitate. So it's visual things that I had already created, but then it's even further kind of deconstructed to fit the show. And then having everyone sort of in monochrome white, so the projections are on their bodies, and then thinking about how that's going to look. And then having the poetry that the songs are from kind of weaved into the songs. And then the movement that I know what's coming and I know what I'm supposed to do. I think those were all goals that I wanted to kind of test and see how it felt. And then from there, I've taken which ones are like received and feel doable or like doable on a more consistent scale, because that initial release show was expensive.
You were talking about the Marquee show in Halifax?
Yeah, which was, I guess, yeah, two years ago now. So that feels not long for me. But I think the thing that also I learned is that, you know, someone like an artist, like a project on that scale, St. Vincent or anyone that's kind of reached that level has money. Mm-hmm. And a team, obviously, to facilitate some larger scale ideas. And that was a main thing that I kind of learned, is what ideas at my level currently are doable on a sustainable basis. And the visual part, I think, was the main thing that I've taken and continue to do. It's also hard to get, I mean, my band said they are willing. It is a little hard to get people on board with like physical movement in addition to what they're already doing, which is like a full job that they're all doing really well and they do for many people. And so there's a lot of parts that I, in my wildest dreams, it would be like a completely, it would be like a completely different show, but I have taken the parts of it that are financially feasible for someone at my level. And then I think just over time, you just add that over and over again.
It builds incrementally is what you mean.
I think so.
I see. So if you're playing, do you play solo? Like what if you're not playing with a band? How do you approach a show like that?
Yeah, it's so different. I just sit at a piano and I talk a lot, kind of like I'm doing now. I really talk.
Do you prepare what you're like?
No, I don't.
Okay, so when you play solo, for some reason you allow yourself to, or you don't allow yourself the prep work that and the rehearsal that you do with the band.
Well, I practice until I actually am sick of my own songs. Like I'll give myself way more time to rehearse by myself than I do with the band, and I will, you know, book off like a week or sometimes more before a show, and I stop doing stuff. Like I won't go out and I won't see people.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I leave myself way too much time to the point where I'm like, oh, I don't need all this time because I've played these songs before. Uh-huh. But I need the space to feel like the songs are really rehearsed because I don't have the band to make things more interesting.
Thinking about the two kinds of shows, the band show and the solo show, your album, we can talk about the album, Text Collector, which came out in June of 2023.
Yeah.================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================================
in some way, you correct me if I'm wrong, the task of that you gave yourself of writing a poem for a year, for 365 days, you wrote a poem a day. Mm-hmm. Some of those poems became songs.
Yeah, it's true.
And some of them remain poems. Some of them, the album, spoiler alert, does not have 365 poems or songs. It has 15. So there was quite a selection right. process that went into sort of a vetting 365 down to 15. I think 7 of which are poems and 8 are songs.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And it closes with a track called Emily, which I mean, I think the album is terrific. I was particularly taken by Emily, because it sits in such stark contrast to the rest of the songs. It very easily could have been like a very big pop banger, like other songs on the album. Mm. It's interesting to me that in talking about like what you do with the big band show and then what you do solo, it feels like Emily might be indicative of what happens in a solo show. Mm. What was the decision behind keeping that one stripped back like that?
I feel like it was most... So Aaron Costello, we produced it together. And I feel like maybe she was the one that was like, we should just keep it the way it is. It also might have been a few different factors that are not as... Like, there's no fun story behind it as much as like we were running out of time.
But I think that's interesting in a creative process, like the actual reality, the limitation that you run up against. You're like, well, I guess that's what this is now.
Yeah.
So you're running out of time.
Running out of time. My first album also ended with a song that was just me and piano and some strings. So it kind of felt, maybe she brought that up as well. And it just kind of felt like a nice ending, and we both really liked the song. We both thought it was good and felt like it didn't need much. Like, it's interesting to hear you say it could have been a pop, like a big pop.
It's song. Full of hooks, and I can hear big choruses. Of course, it could. I mean,
yeah, I guess
it didn't need to be.
That's true. I guess I can understand that as well. And at the time, I don't think I felt that way. So in addition to Aaron, like, you know, confidently having an opinion because she's done it way more than I have, and then time and all these other things, I also just couldn't picture it at the time as anything else. So it just lived the way that it was created, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was a song that I wrote while I was living in Boston. Like, it wasn't technically part of the project ever. Like, all the other songs I'd written by finding fun loops that I liked, like riffing over these loops, because I just was tired of how everything sounds the same when I write on piano. So it was like a way, it was like a tool to get out of the sort of headspace. But Emily obviously was written on piano, and it was kind of separate from all these other songs. So it never, to me, it didn't really fit until I played it for Erin, and she was like, put it on the album.
I see.
And then we did.
Well, they went and put it on the album, so what do you say we put it on the show? This is Leanne Hoffman with Emily. More of our chat after this.
Guess I'm at the age, put things in their place, keep looking in the place I found you. Since we were just kids, nothing really fit. I still thought the whole world of you. When you moved to New York, I mourned you like the family dog. You were better off alone. And when you never called, I know it sounds a little cliche, but I was devastated. Will you ever need? Be strong enough to take my help. 'Cause honestly, I can be pretty good company, let me in. Will we ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be friends? Sometimes when we talk, I can feel you walk away. I can feel you leaving me. It seems the more I try to take the road that's high, I just drive right into the harbor. When you move to LA, I thought we'd be like Hollywood stars in the movies we used to watch. But you had your family, and even though we're closer in space, I just feel further away. Will you ever need, ever need, ever need, ever need anyone else? Will you ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be strong enough to take my help? 'Cause honestly, I can be pretty good company, let me in. Will we ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be? 'Cause Emily, is it hard to keep holding it together? How I wish you'd fall apart. That you don't love me anymore. Will you ever need, ever need, ever need, ever need anyone else? Will you ever be, ever be, ever be, ever be strong enough to take my help? 'Cause honestly, I can be pretty good company, let me in. Will we ever be, 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 Emily? Will we ever be friends? Will we ever be friends?
That's Leanne Hoffman with the album closing track, Emily. Now back to my wake-up call with Leanne.
I'm a sucker for album closers. It's, mm-hmm. I mean, it's not the first song I listen to on an album. Obviously, that seems like a silly thing to do.
That would be wrong. Yeah.
It kind of would be wrong.
I would be offended if someone told me they listened to my album backwards.
Okay, so let's talk about that. Why would you be offended by that? I'm imagining that there's a lot of thought, because there's a lot of thought that goes into the sequencing and the storytelling arc. But, you know, why would you be offended by that?
I think there's lots of ways and reasons to be offended by
about anything.
By anything, but specifically by I think just what you said. There's just so much time and effort put into making anything, mm-hmm. and I feel like I joke a lot with peers and like loved ones about that are also creative people about how negligent digestion of other people's art has become, where you can spend 2 years making a thing and then you post about the day it's coming out and like 42 people like it
and may never listen to it.
Liking doesn't even mean anything.
That means I saw your post. That's it.
I see.
Yeah,
I recognize that you're speaking
totally
for this moment. And so I think listening to a thing backwards that you spent all that time in is just like, well, then why even?
Right.
Why do the thing? Would you read you can't read a book backwards, but people I think would be like, that's not the same. But to me, like it is the exact same. Sure. I put those words in an order. What do you mean? Why would you backwards as a fun thing after you've listened to it forwards maybe, but it kind of feels like a way for when you see bad Yelp reviews, mm-hmm. like a 1-star Yelp review, and then you click on it and it's like, we went to that restaurant, it wasn't open.
Yes.
And you're like, why are you giving it a 1? You didn't even go.
I'm giving you 1-star for not checking on Google to see if it was open or not.
yeah. Not my fault.
Totally. Well. 1-star for how you listen to my album. What about artists giving reviews to their audience?
Oh, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. I love that idea. Except
you can have it.
Yeah. I feel like we are already so often are told to be, you know, nice, just nice, like the customer's always right kind of vibe. Uh-huh. But that's a great idea. You should do something with that.
All right. You could give a review of my work as an interviewer. You know, we could go back and forth. This could just exist in the world in myriad forms.
Yeah, that sounds, now it just sounds like relationships of just totally relating to people.
It's a pity party. It's a party for two. You're only ever happy when I'm miserable like you. An invitation I don't want anymore. You wouldn't know a good time if it showed up at your door. Your red solo cup is always half empty. I'm filling mine up and you pour it on the floor. You can cry if you want to, lie if you want to.
It's your pity, it's your pity, it's your pity party. It's
party.
From her album The Text Collector, that's Leanne Hoffman with Pity Party. Now back to my wake-up call with Leanne. You referenced growing up in a small town.
Mm.
I believe that was Exeter, Ontario, just kind of somewhere around London, right?
Yeah, just north of London.
I've spent a little time in Stratford at the theater festival.
Oh,
and
nice.
So, I know that landscape a little bit. Are you living farmland in Exeter? Did you grow up kind of in farmland?
I was in like the town part, which is pretty small, but yeah, it's a rural like county basically, so lots of farming.
That was not your experience. That was not what you were living like directly.
No, I grew up in like a I don't actually know the definition of a suburb, but
I don't either actually.
I mean, I don't actually know what constitutes a suburb, but I lived in a house beside other houses.
what were you into as a kid?
Bunch of stuff, I guess. I liked stuff. I like doing stuff. I did always like creative things. I really liked writing and reading. Yeah. My mom owned a bookstore when I was growing up. And so I loved words. And most of my young life, I was really into gymnastics.
Mm.
I was like a competitive gymnast. So that took up a lot of time. And then, I feel like I was a pretty creative kid. I liked being alone. I still like being alone.
Mm-hmm.
Making stuff, like, for whatever that was. And as I, like, through high school, I kind of felt the same. Like, I really enjoyed, music. I was in the music sort of community in high school and the theater program and the visual art program. So I really liked making stuff, but I also thought, I mean, I initially moved to Halifax to go to Dal for like physics and chemistry and thought I was going to be some sort of scientist.
What kind of scientist were you thinking you were going
to
be?
Well, I was obsessed. Initially, I thought I wanted to be a marine biologist. And then when I got out here, I kind of became obsessed with like the universe.
Oh yeah.
like I was interested in like space and stuff that I actually wasn't that great. Like I wasn't that great at math. Mm. I could do the things, but it wasn't coming easily like it was for the smart people.
No, the other people, not the smart people.
The other people. But I was really good at memorizing stuff and I was a really good student. So I think, and then being from a small town, when you go to the guidance counselor office and you're like, I think I like songs. And they're like,
no, you don't.
No. No, you don't. And, you know, in hindsight, that was probably good advice because it is really hard to make any sort of living. But, you know, I did try and go the science route and I was pretty miserable. So that didn't last long.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like deeply depressed.
Still depressed.
About
science in particular.
Well, I mean, still forever.
Sorry
still
for having brought it up.
For sure. Well, just about everything. Yeah. Actually, you know, there are days where I think, you know, when inevitably, or maybe not inevitably, but if I have to switch career paths to something more like that pays me, I do still feel an interest in learning. Like, I think the thing that I like about science, or I guess fields that aren't creative, is that you can learn a thing that's a fact, or what we think is a fact, until it's changed again. Whereas creation is so like floating all around. And so you're never settled really, because there's always more to do. And you're never wrong or right. You're just whatever. Whereas science is so grounded, and I think that's nice.
Yeah, I get that.
It's like a nice feeling to arrive at an answer.
Sure. I mean, I have, I've spent decades, making theater, among other things. And some of my best buds that
that I was doing that with are no longer doing that.
What are they doing now?
Well, one of them's making cider.
Cool.
And, you know, like that, he is able to be like, this tastes good,
yeah,
or it doesn't taste good.
Yeah.
And another buddy is he builds things. He's got a renovation company. And so he's like, at the end of the day, I finished that drywall or I didn't, but I know that tomorrow I know how much I have left to do.
Yeah.
And then when that drywall is up, it's done.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. I don't really have that in that aspect of, the way I think about work in my life. And there is something appealing to that in the way you talk about it as well. So I wonder, you know, when it comes to songwriting and, you know, coming from having science background and that desire, how do you approach your writing? How does that show up in your writing? How do you know when a poem is done or a song is done?
I mean, I actually really struggle with that. I'm not going to pretend I know anything, honestly, because I feel like it wouldn't be a very good representation of my day-to-day life, which is like mostly meltdowns. In the process, because it just is hard, and I don't actually know. I don't know when something's done, and I really struggle because I always want it to be better. So the biggest issue is that stuff often doesn't get finished.
I relate to that.
Or I get 3/4 of the way, and then I'm like, ooh, this last quarter would make or break this song, and therefore it just lives half alive, half dead. But co-writing actually is something that I've gotten more into in the past few years is kind of like a saving grace to that feeling, because when you work with other people, someone in the room is bound to have an opinion, and it just leads you to the next thing. And I feel like Erin actually has said this to me a lot, where she's like, just forward momentum leads you to more forward momentum, and even saying no to something means you're moving on to the next like chain and the link of things. And I think that that's true with songwriting, but the hardest part is the forward momentum. Cause I have this feeling that every song, every, I guess also sort of like opportunity, every thing is a chance for that. Like that idea that you start with could become the greatest thing ever, or you can like botch it, which I don't think is true. But it feels that way every time I have an idea. And then there's this there's fear that you might never have that another idea again.
Totally. Sure.
So
sure.
I don't deal with that part well. I actually really struggle to like when I think about people who are really prolific, it's like they don't have that the like editing or critical wall doesn't get put down until the content is like there, whereas I'm judging in real time, so it's hard to finish stuff.
Do you actually think they're not judging in real time? Are they just better equipped to push through? I wonder if there's anyone out there who's engaged in a creative act who is able to actually silence that inner critic. And
that's a good question. Pushing through, whether it's a push through or whether it's just not there.
Right.
I do feel like I have the pleasure of witnessing and being around people who love the process so much that I do kind of believe that when they're in it, they're enjoying it so much that the inner critic isn't, it's like, it's not big enough. It's being like yelled over. If the inner critic was like a single person in a crowd, they just don't have any weight in the opinion or in the process anymore.
Or the artist is being like, I know, I hear you, inner critic. I hear you. I'm not done yet, man. Like, we'll get to you. It's not your turn yet. Yeah, sure.
So maybe a bit of both.
Like, I get that.
Yeah, it's there, but
you must feel that from time to time, right?
Feeling like this like conversation feels like I'm really glass half empty kind of girl, which I guess is sometimes true. But
it was pity party about you.
That's a new thing. Oh, bummer. That's a bummer. I've never thought about that. Yeah. It could be. It's about all of us. At some point.
Yeah. Sure. I believe that. I believe that to be true.
Yeah, I think for sure. There's been times where I've written a song and I've enjoyed doing it, and it gets finished really swiftly, and I don't edit much while it's happening. Or you know, in co-writing, I've had some really amazing co-writes that I'm like, this is great, and I'm having the best time, and I'm not thinking about anything, and we write a great song, and that's nice. I think I actually feel that way more with art that isn't songwriting.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because those other things aren't technically my job, so I feel less pressure to do it well, which maybe that's a good thing for, I could just trick myself next time I'm writing a song into saying it's a hobby. Then maybe I won't care.
That's right. I guess so.
That's interesting.
What song do you enjoy particularly playing live?
Oh man, it would be easier to name the ones that I don't like, but I think I always enjoy, I really like My Body. We often put that pretty early on because it's one that I feel is like a relaxing one. It always goes well and it feels good, and everyone plays really well on the song. Like, I feel like it's a nice warm up. Yeah, I think that one is one of my favorites for all the reasons.
I am alive, hands attached to arms, feet to legs, brain sits in head. I see, mouth speaks, heart feels, body bleeds. I am alive, laugh until I cry. I need food and I need light. I get mad, I forget, stand in the rain and I get wet. Underwater, it's a slow burn.
Leanne Hoffman with My Body on When We Wake. And now back to the conclusion of my wake-up call with Leanne. What was the process of writing that song? Was it enjoyable?
Oh, that's interesting. I actually don't have a ton of... I remember the process of producing it with Aaron, and that it was like not a struggle, but it was one of the ones that we played around with, I think, quite a bit. And I also remember... moments where we kind of found sounds and put stuff together and thought, whoa, this is amazing. This is like each song took turns being our favorite. It feels like also one of a song that the vibe of it is something I want to take on to the next stuff. Like it's a little more atmospheric and less like pop forward than some of the other songs. And the goal of that record was to make a pop record. But now that I'm hearing some of the things that came out of it, I'm like, ooh, next time I want to do this other thing.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
And so when you talk about songs that you don't enjoy, you were like, hey, it would be easier to tell you about songs I don't enjoy playing live. What are those songs? Are they the songs that are like really pop forward that you're like, I don't really want to do that
I think
anymore?
Just songs that the production part was so heavy and like there's not as many organic, because we didn't use any real instruments on that record. It was all like in the box.
Oh, wow.
Is that true? Yeah, I don't think there's anything real on there. So, like, for instance, Portuguese Tarts is, like, pretty heavily produced. There's a lot of, like, sounds and a lot of work put into shaping it. And so live, it's, like, we've spent a ton of time as a band trying to make it a song that works live. And pretty much every time we have a show in rehearsal, we hit that song and I'm like, what's happening here? Like, it just doesn't settle in.
Oh, really? Wow.
It never sucks for anyone else. But in my mind, I'm like, it could be a different song, really. Like, it could have a rewritten version that's meant for a live show.
So you feel kind of, it sounds to me like you feel quite restricted in a lot when you try to bring that song to life live.
Yeah, that's a good word.
So why don't you rewrite it, if I could put
that
to you?
That's a great question. I think actually this was the first time that I tried a little bit, but then sort of with the amount of time I like to have to prepare, I want everything to be the way it is a certain amount of weeks before the show, because I want to be practicing the show, not like, I don't want to brainstorm after a certain point of time. So once we hit the mark where that time was up, I just reverted back to the original because everyone knows that. And I don't want to be like changing anything too last minute, but it did shift in like vibe. And I definitely will consider changing it. Although now new music is happening and it's just going to get put through the revolving door. So it's going to leave.
Right.
Like maybe this is the last time we play it.
It just won't be in the set anymore.
It just won't be there anymore. Yeah.
I gotcha. Gotcha. So new music is coming.
Yeah. I mean, it's always coming. It's just.
Right.
There are goals and set like soft deadlines. So we'll see if I hit any of them. But new song at the show.
That's exciting.
So that's fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Have you ever played it live?
No.
Oh, no. Wow. So like brand spanking new.
Brand, yeah.
Does it sit in the My Body sort of atmospheric vibe?
Actually, yeah, a little bit more. Uh-huh. That is, yeah, that's funny that I didn't. It does. It's more.
Well, you're the one who said it. You said, I want the new stuff to be like that.
True. And so, I'm saying a bunch of stuff, though. So. That is, yeah, it does. I would say that they kind of fit together. Yeah.
Oh, right on. Right
that's
on.
That's fun. Yeah.
Well, look, I'm excited. I'm excited for the show. I'm excited.
You're coming.
Yeah, I'll come.
Nice.
I'll be there. Are you kidding me?
I'll come.
This can be. This can be a great show.
Yeah, it'll be fun.
I love spectacle, and I love spectacle in music. It doesn't. And when I say spectacle, it doesn't need to be like big and bright and loud spectacle. I just mean like the way you talked about it, a considered sort of aesthetic and that rehearsal is cool, you know, like planning something can be cool because it can really have an impact.
I agree with that. And when I think about planning stuff, it's like so many other art forms are really thoroughly planned. Mm. Even when you think about like stand-up comedy, it's like you know, and theater and itself is like all planning. It's so much planning, and I love that. I think that we could all plan more. That'd be nice.
I think so too. I think it's such a, it's, you know, it's a great lie of like this idea with stand-up comedy that like no one else will ever hear the joke like that ever again. It's like, not at all, man. Mm-hmm. Go to the show mm-hmm. in the next city. It's going to be more or less the same. And that's what makes it impactful, because they know what they're doing up there. Exactly.
Yeah.
We got to give ourselves that freedom when it comes to live music, because I think you're right. Like a lot of the time it can feel like that is uncool to be prepared.
I resent that. Yeah. I think it's all cool. Anyone going up in front of people, I think immediately it's like, good job, because it's hard. So,
well, look, I'm going to be among the throngs cheering you on, playing with St. Vincent. Leanne Hoffman, I'm so excited for you. So
thank you.
Thanks for taking the time today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You got it. That brings us to the end of another episode of When We Wake. Big thanks to my guest on today's show, Halifax's Leanne Hoffman. And I am with her 100% that preparation can be cool, okay? My life in the theater is all about preparation. It's all about rehearsal, but Leanne is right. In the music industry, it can be looked at as, overthinking it and not so cool. Just live in the moment, man. Let what happens happen. And I get that. I'm with the people that say that, too. But look, for me, in order for the cool things to start happening, I've got to be ready. And I like a good rehearsal. And frankly, I think the audience does, too. Leanne Hoffman will be at the Halifax Jazz Fest with St. Vincent July 20th, halifaxjazzfestival.ca. Find me on Instagram at TheAndrewShaver or at When We Wake Radio. Thanks very much for listening.
Coming up now on this week's Release Radar, in partnership with the Kingston Music Office, we're pleased to present a single from local artist Kyra's debut album, Skin to Skin. The new album presents vulnerable lyrics and complex melodies that bring the listener on a personal journey. Although each song tells its own tale, they all come together to form a bigger story. With many musical influences from different genres, there's a song in here for everyone. Want to be highlighted next time? Complete the Release Radar submission form on the Kingston Music Office website or via visit kingston.music on Instagram. In the meantime, stream Skin to Skin on your favorite platforms and enjoy a selection from it called I Am a Diamond with us now here on CFRC 101.9 FM. You